Well, hey, everybody. Fancy seeing y'all here.
Do you come here often?
Yeah. Hopefully. Oh! Hey, so, yeah, this... If you ever come up here, don't trip on things, because that's really embarrassing. No, just kidding. Yeah, it's been great. Well, before we get started, I just want to say, again, like I was saying yesterday, I really loved being here. Loved getting to spend time with y'all, and it was just a blast today. My group, the Awkward Turtles, we got to go to the nursing home, and then got to go to Tanglewood Park and hang out with some of the kids at the Bryan camp, and it was just really, really cool to... just see y'all in action and see each one of y'all in your unique gifts and see you stretched, being pushed out of your comfort zone and be able to take that well. So anyway, just wanted to say thank y'all again for just being who you are and being willing to do this. So with that, I'm going to open up in prayer. But before I do, I just want to take a second and... we did this yesterday, but I just want you all to just pray to yourself, pray in your own head, and just for a couple seconds ask that God would open your heart to something new for tonight. And then if you wouldn't mind, also take a couple seconds and pray for me, that God would use me and speak through me. Well, dear Father, we do just thank you for this awesome day, knowing that without you, none of this is possible. God, that as much work has been put into making this thing run, and people have sacrificed and done just awesome things for this, God, we know that ultimately it's just a gift from you. And we're so, so thankful to be able to do that. And thank you for the connections that took place today. The way that you used us to reach people who are hurting or in need. God, and whether we know it or not, we just made a difference today. And I'm confident of that, not because I think we are amazing or great, but because I know that you are and that you can use anything. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so yesterday we started talking about this idea of the upside-down kingdom. I have right here, my throne. Someone keeps moving it, but this is kind of what we've been talking about, right? Where God has placed this throne in front of us, and we can either choose to sit on the throne and to rule from a place of trying to take power for our own, or trying to define right and wrong on our own terms to say, well, you know, this is really what's going to be best for me, so I'm going to do this even though God has said not to. And in doing so, it feels like you're in control, it feels like you have power, and you're getting satisfaction and joy from it. But actually what's happening is kind of like a blanket. Sin and death is covering you, and you just become kind of this puppet king, where you are doing the will, not of yourself, you are not doing your own will, but sin is using you as a tool and as a vessel to spread death to all the world around you. It doesn't just affect you. You now have become a slave. If you allow yourself to sit on the throne, you become a slave to sin and to death. And we saw how, first and foremost, that happened with Adam and Eve, right? They had this decision, okay, are we going to obey God? Are we going to do what's best for one another? Or am I going to take what I want? Am I going to take this knowledge of good and evil and rule and be self-sufficient? And as we saw, what happened is, as we know, they chose to be self-sufficient. They chose to decide for themselves. They chose to sit on the throne. And from that, Adam and Eve, who were supposed to be these rulers, these kings, actually became the slaves. And remember, we read in Romans that it wasn't Adam and Eve that were reigning anymore, but death. It was death reigning through them. So as we do that, as we're looking at that, we're going to kind of keep on moving on. But it struck me that sin is a lot like false advertisement. I was thinking about this. Can any of y'all think off the top of your head, like, something in commercials that you feel like is always falsely advertised, where it looks one way and then you get it in real life and you're like, this is not food. Oh, that's, yeah. Like burgers, right? Like, especially McDonald's or like Burger King. Yeah, or I was thinking of like cologne commercials. Like as a guy, like I see that and it's this guy with like chiseled abs and like stubbled face and he's like pushing himself out of a pool and like there's ladies all around him and it's like, yeah, like I'm gonna get that cologne, that's gonna be me. And then I just stay like myself. And it's just like this false advertisement, right? Like it's not what it says it is. And with sin, that's the exact same thing. Like when we sin, when we say, no, I'm actually gonna do this. I'm going to act out in anger or hatred towards someone, or I'm going to give in to this greed or this lust or gluttony or whatever it may be. It seems like, yeah, this is a really good idea. Like, this is quite a bargain. But then when you actually give in, it's like when you actually buy that hamburger from McDonald's, you're like, what was I thinking? And what you find is that when you give in to sin, it doesn't meet your expectations. It's not what it was advertised, but in fact, you become a slave. So we're going to be starting in Genesis 4, because Genesis 4 through 11 really do a good job of explaining what it looks like to be a slave to sin. And we're going to be talking about a few different people, if we have time. We're going to start with Cain and Abel, and then we're going to talk about Noah, and then we're going to end and look at God's promise to Abraham, and show God's grace in that. So, starting in Genesis 4, can I get, let me see, who do I want to, where's Ben? The one that didn't read last time, you, Ben. Can you read, this is kind of a longer one, Genesis 4, 1 through 7. And so this is kind of just the beginning of the story of Cain and Abel, who, if you don't know, are the children of Adam and Eve.
Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived before Cain, saying, I've gotten a man to help the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of fruit from the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought the fruit of, brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat horses. And the Lord regarded Abel and his offerings, but for Cain and his offerings he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, if you do not do well, it is crouching at the door.
Okay, perfect. That's great. So we see here that Cain, just like Adam and Eve, he has this decision set before him. In a sense, he has this throne, and he has a decision. Am I going to sit on it? I'm going to do what I want, or am I going to submit myself to the Lord? And the language you see there, it's very possessive. Like, God says, hey, sin wants you. Like, you have the ability to rule over it, but sin wants to take you. And then what we see to the end of the story is I'll read it real quick. In 4:8 it says Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Right. So what I really want to show y'all here is this is the same exact story as Adam and Eve. Right, different characters, but the same exact plot line. Where Cain is left with this choice, okay, you can either take what you want, or you can submit to God. And what does he do? He chooses to sit on the throne, and to take what he wants, but if you notice, what does it end in? It ends in death. It ends in the death of his brother. And so what you get from this is it's not actually Abel controlling Abel. What Abel is doing is he is submitting himself, he's making himself a slave to sin, and in doing so, sin is acting through him to spread death through the whole world. And so, as humans, we were created to spread life and to spread peace and joy on this planet, but what's happening because of Adam and Eve's decision is instead of spreading life and joy and peace, sin is controlling people and making them its slave to spread death. And you know, as you read through the next few chapters, this just keeps on getting worse and worse. There's this guy named Lamech who, you know, he starts kind of collecting wives like they're his property, and he kills people like Cain did, but even worse. And it gets to the point where just the whole world is covered with disorder and chaos and hatred, and everyone's just doing what they're doing. And in fact, it's a lot like what the world started out as. Can anyone tell me what, in the very beginning, Genesis 1, what did the world start out as? Yeah, water. And remember we talked about how terrifying that would be to like wake up and just be surrounded by waves and like no land in sight and it's dark and there's just huge waves and you don't know what's underneath you. Like that's disorder and chaos and really like death at its finest. There's no way you can survive that. And so, in a sense, it's like the world has collapsed back into that state of disorder, of flood, of chaos, of hurt. But it's not water now, it's sin. It's like creation has kind of collapsed back onto itself to such an extent where I think when God looked at the world at this place, he saw, man, this is worse than what we started out as. Like this is, these humans that I gave the authority to spread love and kindness, they are making the world even worse than it was before I even touched it. They're spreading more death, more chaos than this flood water was when I was there before he created the world. So I'm sure we're all familiar with the story of Noah, but what he does is he allows the world to fall back into that chaos that was originally there. He allows the world to revert back to its original state of just this watery chaos, because essentially that's really what it was at this point. There was no place of safety. And so from here we're going to, I want us to turn to Genesis 7, just a couple pages over. And, you know, I want us to read Genesis 7, verses 17 through 22. Morgan, can you read those verses out loud? And you're in the front, so speak kind of loud so people can hear you. 17 through 22.
For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated to the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The water rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. Every living thing that moved on the earth perished, birds, livestock, wild animals, all creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died.
Okay, so all those things that were listed there that died, one thing that they have in common is all of them were given to humanity to rule over. If you remember in the garden, God said, hey, this is what you have dominion over. You have dominion over all of these animals. And I think what we're trying to be shown here is that humans, because of your sinful decisions, this culture of death is just continuing to spread. It doesn't just impact you. It impacts everything. It impacts all of creation, everything that you have been put over. And again, God just allows creation to descend back onto itself. So much so that it ultimately leads not just to the death of one person or a couple people, but to the death of everybody. And that's what the world has become. But God in His mercy, as we were reading earlier there, chose and decided to save one family that he considered righteous, the family of Noah. And this part I think is super cool when I noticed it. Because look with me just a couple lines down in chapter 8, verse 1, and I think you'll notice something familiar. Let's see. Hey, Kobe, can you read Genesis 8, verse 1? Okay, cool. So, right now, again, you should kind of be hearing the Jaws theme song in your head, right? Where when you hear that, you instantly know, no matter what movie you're watching, shark attack's coming, right? Because do y'all remember the word I told y'all last night about that? It's that Hebrew word that means spirit, but it also means wind or breath. Yeah, ruach, right? Ruach. And so, this is the very same word, the wind that God uses to pass over these waters. It's the same word. It's God's spirit that was above the waters that separated them in Genesis 1. And so it's this repeating idea where, hey, the world, it's starting just like Genesis 1. You have this completely flooded earth, and God sends His breath, His spirit over to separate the waters and allow for a safe place for Noah and his family to land and flourish in life. And remember what I said this should signify to you, that when you see this, you should think, oh, this is what's happening. Means that there's the inauguration of a new king that's coming. In the same way that when you hear the Jaws theme song, the Jaws theme song, you know there's a shark attack coming, right? Watch out. You may yell at the screen or something if you're that kind of people. You're like, ah, watch out! And it's like, they can't hear you. But, you know, right? In the Bible, like, this is kind of the same thing that happened. When you see this, you should know, hey, like, I know what's coming up. Someone is going to have the throne set before him. Some new person is going to be inaugurated. And as we see, that's Noah. And so in on the next page in chapter 9, Nina, can you read chapter 9, verses 1 and 2? This is God speaking to Noah. Okay, and again, this should sound super familiar to you, because we just got done reading the very same thing last night. This is the not completely, but almost the exact same thing God says to Adam and Eve in their inauguration as kings of this planet. So, what you see is this is just a complete reboot, right? It's Adam 2.0, it's humans 2.0. God is restarting with Noah. He's saying, okay, Noah, you know the consequences. You know what has happened. You've seen literally everybody and everything die because humans took this throne and they sat on it and they ruled people around and ruled from their own desire for themselves and their definitions of good and evil. And it led to this huge amount of death. I'm giving you the same option. I'm giving you the same choice. How are you going to rule? Right? And you would think, okay, Noah, listen, he just watched everyone die. He should probably get this. But, again, spoiler, he doesn't. And it's actually just really sad. And so a little bit further down in Genesis 9, verses 20 and 22, we're going to kind of read through what happens right after they get off the ark. And let's get... Hey, Mason, can you read Genesis 9, verses 20 through 22? Okay, you can stop there. I know that sounds like a weird place to stop, but the first thing we see here is Noah. He gets off the ark. The very first thing he does is just get wasted. Like, that does not seem like the kind of decision that God would lead him to. So first of all, it doesn't bode well. And then this next line, it's kind of confusing, but I just want to be, you know, I don't want to baby y'all. Like, I want to treat y'all as people who are mature and can handle sensitive topics. And so all I want to say on this is this line that Ham saw his father's nakedness. Every time that line is used to see someone's nakedness in the Bible, it always refers to some sort of like sexual perversion. And that's all I'm really going to say on the matter. But you see just right off the bat, like, wow, God just recommissioned humanity to be kings, and what a mess they're making of things right off of the bat. And it's hard to take. And it kind of, I don't know, in a sense, it makes me look at the world today and think, okay, yeah, this is about what it's always been. You know, it's easy to think like, wow, like, I'm probably the worst person that's ever lived, or like, wow, this world is as bad as it's ever been. But I don't think so. When I see this, it's like, man, this has been it from the beginning. People have constantly been taking up this throne, sitting on it, and choosing what to do. And from that, there are just these terrible, terrible consequences. And I think probably one of the most important verses in this is the very last verse of the chapter, verse 29. It says, "So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died." And I think that's just a little subtle reminder that, hey, this culture of death, it's still here. It's still around. Yeah, if the world has been reset, It's been rebooted. It's been done over. But humans are still choosing to rule on their own. They're not stepping off the throne. They're not submitting to the Lord like they're supposed to do. They're not loving each other more than themselves like they're supposed to. And it's still just leading to death and to sin. And we're going to continue... We're going to continue looking through that and seeing what that means. But before we go any further, I just kind of want to make sure everyone is on board and check. Does anyone have any questions about what I've talked about so far? Anything you don't understand or anything you need clarification of? Okay, cool. All right, so I think with that, we just have to realize how practical this is for today, because just like back then, sin is still this false advertisement. And I could go into specifics, but I think we have all been through enough life to realize that you make these decisions that sound like really good in your head, like, man, I know this isn't right, but this is probably going to bring me some sort of happiness or joy or contentment or whatever. And then you end up doing it, and it just kills you. Like, you're filled with guilt and you're filled with sadness, and it doesn't just impact you, but it impacts the people around you. This is the life that we live in constantly, and the life that we see all around us. And it doesn't matter. A lot of times we try to kind of segregate different sins and say, like, well, I may do this, but at least I don't do that. Or, hey, I may do this, and at least I'm not going to do that. But I really don't think it matters that everything you do, if you are really upset with somebody and you, start talking about them behind their back, like, in a very real way, at that point, you are taking up this throne and you are sitting on it and deciding for yourself, hey, I'm gonna decide what's right and wrong because I want to do what I want to do. And that may seem like something small, but what you're doing is the very same thing that's happening here. You're spreading this you're spreading death. And what you have to realize in that moment, it's not you ruling, that you are a slave to sin, that sin is actually just using you as kind of a pawn in its game. And so, again, we could just kind of go through the list of things, like, how are you going to act with your boyfriend and girlfriend, or how are you going to treat your parents when you don't feel like respecting them, or how are you going to apply yourself to school, or how are you going to do all of these things? It really comes down to, all right, are you going to submit to the Lord? Are you going to take yourself off the throne? Or are you going to be a part of spreading this death into the world? And that's part of, I shared with y'all at the beginning of this week that this lesson is super personal to me, because this is something that's been just changing my life recently and has been challenging the way that I see so many things. And that's such a huge part of it, is I'm beginning to see my decisions as so much more. That whenever I'm interacting with each of you, whenever I'm interacting with my friends, I consider y'all my friends, but whenever I'm acting with my other friends, or whenever I'm interacting with strangers, like, in a very real way, I have to decide, okay, am I going to allow myself to be used by sin? Am I going to allow myself to be a slave to that? Or am I going to kind of bring myself down a notch, take myself off the throne, and say, hey, God, you get to decide what's right and wrong, and I'm going to follow you through it. Now, just as we close, I want to look at Genesis 12. So turn there with me. And if you remember, in yesterday, we were talking about Adam and Eve, and we saw the very last thing that God did was he made this promise to him to say, hey, yeah, you've messed up big, but hey, there's this hope, and his name is Jesus. And I just think it's so cool, and I think we're going to see this as a theme, that God continues to do the very same thing. So in Genesis 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 3, and let's see who wants to read. You've already read, Tatum. I want you to read. Alyssa, can you read for us Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3?
Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make the great nation, I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Okay, great. So from this world of chaos and death and sin, where people are just being used by sin, being enslaved to sin, God picks out one man, this man named Abram, and he says, hey, okay, through you, I'm going to bring this person, through you, I'm going to bring deliverance from sin and death. It's the very same promise God makes to Adam and Eve in the garden. That right after they mess up, God says, okay, I know what you've done, I know the consequences it's going to cause, but hey, there is hope. And again, to flash forward, that hope is Jesus. And so if you're sitting here, and just like yesterday, maybe you realize, man, like, I really have messed up. I am just allowing myself to be used by sin, or I am being used to kind of just spread hatred or whatever. I've given into the false advertising of sin. Guys, there is so much hope. There is hope, and His name is Jesus. And, you know, I think, like Dave said earlier, David, sorry, I don't know why I called you Dave. I never call you Dave. Like what Merv said earlier, I know, yeah. David, yeah, I don't know. But, sorry, Mr. Mervish. But, no, like, I'm sure there's some of y'all in here who you don't have a relationship with God. And if you're sitting here, like, and you're convicted with sin or with what you've been doing, the only answer is, hey, turn to Jesus. Like, that is the only person who can deliver you from this. And I know there's people in here who are genuinely Christians. And maybe you have been for a long time, maybe you have been for a short amount of time, I don't know. But you've been walking with the Lord, and you still find yourself giving into this and becoming a slave to sin and just kind of going back to the same thing or whatever. And my answer for y'all is the very same thing. You got to turn to Jesus. There's no amount of going to church or coming to a mission trip that is going to set you free from that. It is only in Christ. And that's just not in the New Testament, but I think as we've begun to see and we're continuing to see, even throughout the Old Testament, the only hope is Jesus. God says, hey, have hope not because you're this great person. Have hope not because you're going to church. Have hope because there's this man that's coming, and his name is Jesus, and he's going to save us and deliver us from this sin. So with that, like, that's what I want to end on, because that's really the most important thing. If you get anything out of this week, I hope that's it. That you just know that the hope for freedom and the hope for life is only found in Jesus. So, yeah, I should probably recap. That's something that people do sometimes. But, yeah, just as we go, you know, think over this again, starting with Adam and Eve, this culture of death entered into this world where people are continually choosing to put themselves on the throne, decide what is good and evil for themselves, and it just always, every single time, leads to death. Cain is being used by sin to bring death to his brother Abel. Humanity is being used by sin to bring death to everyone, right? And then it just continues after that. You see with Noah and his sons that they're walking in this same slavery that that their grandparents did. And that has been passed on to us. And that could be the most terrible news you've ever heard, except for the fact that the best news you ever heard is that Jesus came to save you, and that in Him we just have ultimate hope. Let's pray. Dear Father, yeah, I just can't thank you enough for that hope that we have in you. That no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what has happened, no matter what we've been through, that God, we know that you know it, and we know that you forgive us. God, and just like we saw with Noah and his sons, and with Cain and Abel and Adam and Eve, God, there's nothing we can do that is going to disqualify us from that forgiveness. And God, I pray as we continue to go throughout this week, we would just choose to take ourselves off of this throne that leads to so much hurt, so much disappointment, and instead take ourselves down a few notches and submit ourselves to you, your will for our lives, and what you say we should do. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.